Okay. Good morning. It's good to see you. This morning, or in fact, last week, we had our annual meeting. For those of you who are here, thank you for participating in that. And your graciousness and your unity was really profound, I thought. And so we really thank the Lord for that in really incredible ways. And so in your graciousness, because we had a plan for last week, and we totally messed up the plan. It ended up getting a little bit, kind of scrapped. But what I think what ended up was exactly what the Lord wanted. So it was great. We got it scrapped. And so the part that got scrapped, I'm going to kind of pick up on today and combine it with the things that I wanted to do today. And so I think it works out better anyway. And so last week in our annual meeting, a celebration, because really the business of the church is not so much making X's and O's and doing budgets and what. It's really honoring the Lord, right? That's our real business, is celebrating him and honoring him and loving him and worshiping him and have it translate into our lives and the way we do things. Because the only reason we'd want to have a budget is so we agree on where we're going to spend money, because we're trying to make an impact for the kingdom of God in our community. And so that's the only reason that it's important. And for those new members in our midst, we're so glad to have you aboard. And we're going to go from there. So what I was going to do last week is talk a little bit about where we're going in this next year, in 2015, 2016, because we go September through August is kind of our not only our budget year, but also our planning year, because we kind of function off that cultural reality of the beginning of the year. It doesn't actually happen in January. It happens in September. And so that's kind of how we've organized ourselves. And so we want to talk a little bit about the key objective for this year. Now, this may sound like a business meeting to you. What's the key objective? And the key objective is just that, well, what are we trying to accomplish? And in a sense, trying to ask, what are we trying to do? And so really the question is, well, what are we going to focus on? And so I stand here this morning representing not just myself, but representing the staff and the elders who have said, okay, God, what do you want us to do this year? And you seek for that, you look for that, you try to sense what he's saying, and then you begin to do that. And then along the way, we'll listen and see if he wants us to change that. Because this isn't our church, this is his church. And so kind of sense, where are we going and what are we doing? So here's kind of the key objective for this year. It's to aggressively address the vital and foundational elements of ministry that were either slighted in the early stages of Quest's development or need to be reinforced at this point. And just so you know, we as a church started a little differently than most church plants. A lot of church plants will start as kind of a home Bible study, one, and then as soon as that grows large enough, they split it in two and they have two or three. And so that's kind of a typical way for church plants to start. We started with several hundred people, around. And so we found ourselves kind of scrambling to make sure, how do we make that work? And in the process, I think there are probably times where we missed a few critical steps or a few critical elements and maybe developing a church. And it's never too late. We just think, okay, how do we go back and do that? And so we want to aggressively address those foundational issues or dynamics in a church that we needed to do. Now, let me just kind of explain. This is a picture of a skyscraper in New York City. I was there several years ago with my son on a choir tour, and we took a tour of the entire city one day. It was fascinating. It was really interesting. And the guy who gave us the tour was a 65-year-old guy who had lived in Manhattan his entire life. He had never owned a car. Still has never owned a car. And so for a guy from the West, that just is like bizarre, really. I mean, how do you live without a car? You know, this has been a normal thing since I was born. That was the way you get around. I mean, where I grew up in Colorado Springs, Colorado, there's no such thing as a bus system. There's no such thing as a trolley system. There's no subways. And unfortunately, horses are gone. And so you have to have a car. That's how you get around in life. And this guy had never owned a car his whole life. I just thought, wow. I said, well, what do you do when you need to go somewhere? And he goes, well, I either fly or I rent a car. I do know how to drive. And so I think, okay. But one of the things that we did, as we traveled through the city, is we came to a place where a new skyscraper was being built. And it was fascinating. It was cool. You know, and here are these really incredible buildings everywhere around us. And then here's this new one starting. But Manhattan, if you know, is just a large rock. It's a huge rock. Some of the best water in America, you would never believe it, comes out of Manhattan. Because the water comes up through this rock system, and we know that's how water gets filtered, and it ends up being some of the best water. They're famous for their water. And so it's just this huge rock. And in order to build a building there, you have to dig down into the rock in order to get this building secured and build a foundation so that you can build this thing. And then he made this statement as we looked at it, that half of the cost, over half of the cost, he said, of any skyscraper here in New York is below ground in the foundation. And so here's a picture of a foundation as they begin to build it. And these buildings are incredibly complicated and incredibly secured into the rock, but half of the cost of the entire building, which amazed me, right? Because I look at this big, tall, incredible building, and you know that what's above ground is fairly expensive. You know, there's a lot of money that went into that thing. But half of the cost, over half the cost, was below ground. And I didn't think about it then, but I have thought about it since, how profound, what an illustration of building a church, is we get all wrapped up in what's above ground, the visible, the flashy. You know, what's it supposed to look like? Not just in a building, but in the ministry. But unless it has a really firm foundation, it's probably not going to survive. And I think I, at times, get too wrapped up in what it looks like above ground and forget to build a foundation on which it would be built, secure and strong. And so in a sense, what this year is going to be all about is going back and making sure that we have addressed the issues of foundational things of a church so that whatever it looks like, because what it looks like above ground is, will not be determined by me, but it'll be determined by you, because you are the church, right? You are the church. And so the thing that's going to make Quest different than every other church out there is not its foundation. It's going to be like every other solid Christian church. But it'll be uniquely different because it's you that are a part of this church. And it'll look like you. Who you are, your passions, your gifts, your abilities, where you live and how you do that, the people you know, the circles you run in. Quest will be different only because of that. But our job, my job, and his leadership's job is to make sure that it has foundations, right? So, this year, our theme is going to be called this. And you can see kind of symbolically up here, it's going to be called Gear Up. Excuse me. It's going to be called Gear Up, and there are going to be four parts to that that we want to focus on as we gear up and put ourselves together, work together, kind of get going together. There are going to be four parts of that. The first one we're going to talk about is reach or outreach, kind of reaching. So you're going to hear these words all year, just so you know. So get ready. You're going to hear these things 1,000 times. So you're going to hear reach. Secondly, you're going to see that it has to do with equip. Third, it's going to have to do with belong. And the fourth, it's going to have to do is with pray. Okay, so let's just start and kind of look at these really quickly. We'll start with reach over here. And here's the reality. Here's what that kind of means, is to increase our effectiveness in both, and let's circle this, kind of emphasize this, increase our effectiveness in both the proclamation and demonstration of the gospel. So when we tell someone about Jesus, people eventually want to say, what's that look like? Tell me what it looks like. Show me what it looks like, this idea of Christ living in you. What's it smell like? What's it look? How do you act it out? Because if what you say and what you do is totally discombobulated, I'm not listening anymore. But we want to be able to both proclaim and demonstrate the gospel in Quest as a whole and as well as on an individual level, okay? That we want to be all about reaching people. And so here's just some of the goals that we have for this year. First of all, do I identify and execute 5 priority ministry venues in St. Louis County and city. And here's kind of what we've chosen. Now, it just means what we're going to aim at, right? Here's what we think we should be doing. But a lot of this, too, is going to be flavored by you, okay? So here they are. One is the schools. We feel like God's kind of given us a little bit of an inroad into partnering with schools. And it doesn't mean that we'll become the teachers. It just means, like, we do the pantry here at Crestview. And that sends food home with 12 kids every weekend, who typically will have no food at home when they get there. And they pack up a backpack full of food. And you know where a bunch of that food comes from? It's you. And if you feel like it, we've had this past year, Selvage called us twice and said, would you help us with a family that's struggling? They're hurting. We're not equipped. We don't have the resources. Will you help us? Is that like a no-brainer or what? Of course we will. And so we step into that. And maybe it'd be Marquette or Lafayette or Ellisville Elementary or whatever, but we could partner in helping some of the needs of schools in our area. Secondly, that we want to connect with Thrive, to advancing healthy choices for life. We were just at a dinner last night to watch these incredible women who found themselves between a rock and a hard place and making difficult choices. And so many were so glad that they chose life. And to see the celebration of these beautiful young lives. And so we want to partner with them. Third, to partner with New City Fellowship, which is a fellowship, a Christian fellowship in the city that has inroads into the city like we don't have, and we'd have to kind of figure it all out, you know, and start from scratch. And why do that? Let's just partner with them in making a difference. And we have people in our church, especially Mel Brown has been connected there and helping us connect with New City Fellowship. And so that's one of our focus. Next is Serve St. Louis. It's happening in 3 weeks. We want to make a difference joining other churches, because we're not all by ourselves, right? We need to join other churches and be a partner with them in touching the city with a demonstration of the gospel in ways that really help. And then the fifth is, we're going to call it Christmas Compassion. It's going to be a kind of our Christmas season focus. And not only will we focus on that in our services, but what can we do in our community during the Christmas season? Because it's kind of an open time. You know, they're a little more open during Christmas. What could we do? And so we have some plans of how are we going to reach out into the city and into our community, even right here in West County. Because some of the needs are different than the city, right? But they're here. The profound needs right out here in West County, they're hidden below the surface. They're hidden behind more expensive doors than what happens in the city. But they're here. Right? We know that. Because of all things going on. So what can we do during Christmas Compassion? Next, we want to critique the actual potential of some of the relationships we have overseas. And so we want to actually take a very hard look at Haiti and what we're doing there. Can we sustain it? Is it what God's calling to us long term? Same thing in Germany. Is that what he wants us to do, continue to do? We've had kind of some hiccups in that and ups and downs. And so we're kind of trying to take a very critical approach towards that. Then also, we have some relational connections now in Bulgaria, as Sean and Natalie Keys are there. Does God want us to connect with that in some unique way? We have a unique connection in Lebanon with the Kuris, who have moved back there, and so trying to check that out. And we have some people in our midst who work deeply with the Muslim world. And is there a way that maybe we should connect there? So we're going to try to take a really critical look and evaluate what we should be doing. The next is, we want to train questers. Most people call you guys questers. I call you Questonians because I come from that colonial time of America, and I'm a Jeffersonian in many of my approaches to life, and so I call you Questonians. But train questers on a simple outline of the gospel explanation that's transferable and usable. Because you know, when you get to that point where you get to someone talk about someone to someone about Christ, and you go, I don't know what to say. You know, it's really hard. And we'll try to give you something very simple and very real, very tangible, very easy to jump into, okay? Okay, so that's kind of an area of reach. The next one I want to talk about is a little bit of equip. And we want to equip you, and here's what it means is this, is to help everyone in Quest have a greater understanding of how God has wired you and for you for the work of ministry, and to help you get plugged in. Now let's circle this, to utilize and develop your passions, your interests, your dreams, and your spiritual gifts. Because it's not about me expressing mine. It's about all of us expressing all of it, right? And we want to help you get there. And so here's some of the things we're going to do in the midst of that. First of all, we're going to take a diagnostic, we'll introduce it next week, on you evaluating kind of where you're at in your spiritual growth. And then we're going to ask you to give us a copy of that, not with your name on it, but we're going to ask you to give a copy so we can put them all together and kind of evaluate where are we at as a church, as a group of people. And so it's like when you go to the doctor and you take a diagnostic, you get your yearly health check, and he goes, well, Kevin, I won't tell you what he says, but you know, you need this and you need that. And I'm like, whoa, that's not happening. You know, it's just certain things, you know, and you go, but it's really good. Kevin, your cholesterol is a little high. I wanted to say, hey, shut up. You know? I don't want to hear it. What do you mean lose weight? Yeah, that ain't going to happen. You know, but it'd be really a healthy thing, right? So we'll take a diagnostic on both your spiritual health and then us as a whole. We're going to do that. Secondly, we're going to do this is effectively present and discuss the necessity of every person being equipped and connected and mobilize for the effectiveness of the ministry. We're going to talk about that here. We're going to talk about it in BLTs. We're going to talk about it in the men's group and women's groups. We're going to talk about that what that feels like. Because in some ways that feels really exciting, doesn't it? In other ways it feels totally scary. It's like, oh, what are you going to ask me to do? Well, we won't push you over any cliffs, but we will encourage us to be what God called us to be individually. So we'll equip you to do that. Next, we're going to have questers or questonians attend. We're going to ask you to attend a ministry cornerstone class. We'll do that a little bit more in a focused manner. And we'll use a diagnostic in that too to help you understand your wiring as a person, your spiritual gifts, your passions, your interests, and hopefully find a way that's really a good fit for you. And so we're going to ask you to come to one of those. So after equip, we're going to belong. We're going to focus on belonging. And here's what that means. It means to initiate, support, and develop effective environments for, let's circle it, experiencing community. For the people in Quest and the next wave of those who will be coming, some of whom are already here. There's been kind of an influx of people, and we have to be ready to prepare to embrace them and to be able to say, you need to belong too. It's not the old, you know, the people who have been around for a few years are the key. We're not. It's everyone. So if you've been here 20 minutes, you're part of the deal, okay? And we want you need to be invited in and made a part of that. Here are some of the things we're going to do. We're going to plant and develop two or three new BLTs by January 1st, hopefully, which might include 40 to 80 new people. So we have five. We have a brand new one that just started on Thursday nights that Bill and Annie Bear are part of. And just so totally great. Yeah, no, I wasn't cutting you off. I was saying, yeah, isn't that great? We can even clap more. But then what that means is we want to develop those because right now is kind of our BLT season. And here's the deal. If you're in a BLT or you're not in one, this is what we call the on-ramp and off-ramp time. If you need to change for whatever reason, that's fine. If you need to adjust one, that's fine. If you need to join one you never have, that's great. Bill and Annie have one that just started, like I said, on Thursdays. That'd be a great place as they grow that. And the others, too, are a great place to get joined. So really consider being a part of a community of people, okay? Next, we want to establish two or three special focuses or special focus support groups. Because guess what? We live in a world where there's lots of pain and hurt. And sometimes there's a common pain and hurt. And we want to be really open to what is God calling us to? Those who are struggling with some sort of sickness. Those who are dealing with parents who are getting older and beginning to enter into that last lap of life or maybe having lost them. Or people who are struggling with some sort of addiction. Guess what? You're not alone here. We want to develop whatever it is that God would show us in these special support groups for people who need to be in a place who say, me too. How can you help me? My heart is breaking over whatever it might be. We want to be open to develop those. Third, we want to establish more effective belong environments for some key groups of people. Young adults, young families, seniors. And I'll just make a brief comment about seniors. I was talking to someone the other day, and it really hit me. This person said, this has really been hard. This point of my life is very hard. I've lost my husband. He had passed away. Couldn't really any longer take care of the house. It was just too much. I've lost my home. I've moved into a retirement facility. And I used to have, 4,000 square feet, and now I have 900 square feet. And almost everything I've ever owned is gone. Lost my husband. I've lost my house. I've lost my health because I'm really struggling. And then she made this comment, I've lost my church. Because it doesn't feel at all like what I grew up with. And not that it has to do that, but you get it, right? We get it. It feels so unfamiliar and like I'm so unimportant. I'm just a piece of wallpaper, no longer important to the life of my church. That breaks our heart, right? And so we want seniors to say, man, you're so valuable to this. And we want to not ignore that. And so I think we need to do that. Young adults, like Jeff and Lisa were talking about, this young adult thing is starting tonight. I encourage you to go. So this is not the name of it, but when I always think in terms of food. I'm kind of a food guy. So we call our small groups BLTs. Well, so I, in my own little heart, have named this group the Yams. It's a young adults, married or single. And you can't just be Yams. You have to be Yowza Yams. So that's not the name of it. That's just my nickname for it is the yams. I know you guys don't like yams, but whatever, you know. Someone has to be silly up here, so that's me. Okay. After that, I want to say in the area of belong that we want to continue our commitment, a high-level, powerful commitment to kids' ministry and to student ministry. Because I tell you what, if you went down and watched what's going on down the hallway here in kids' ministry, you'd be blown away that these kids are not being babysat. In fact, I kiddingly say that's what we do up here. And while they do real ministry down there, and they are reaching these kids with the Word of God and the heart of God through the lives of these teachers in God's Word. It's really amazing what's going on. And I'll tell you what Jake has been doing and his volunteers with students is critical. You try to be a student today, and I'll tell you what, it is hard. And they face pressures like you and I have never faced in really critical times. What he's helping, coming alongside us as parents, that's all he's doing. It's your job as parents, not his job, right? He just comes alongside parents with all those volunteers to make a difference in their lives. And they need it so badly. And what he's doing is a great job. And so when we think about now getting some facilities, offices, meeting space, we really have said this past week in our elder meeting, the priority is students, a space for students. And we can make offices out of anything. You know, we can live in a closet, no big deal. We can figure that out. But a space for students that makes it work is our priority as a result. So we have a high commitment to what they're doing. All right. And then let's end up with prayer. Here's the deal. It's really to encourage. So let's circle that. To encourage an intentional dependence on God. So you guys, prayer is not, you know, like, okay, I've got to pray. Prayer has to come from inside, right? It's something that you do. It's an intentional dependence on God, realizing that every moment and every day, I need to pray. I need to include God in this. I may be driving and I don't need to close my eyes, but I need to pray. So it's to encourage an intentional dependence on God in prayer in every dimension of Quest, our individual lives, our church as a whole, and our neighbors here and around the world, that we would pray. Okay, and here's some of the things we're going to do. We're going to aggressively include prayer as an obvious element in every situation and need in life rather than a second thought or an afterthought, to make it a part of everything we do. And not as a rubber stamp thing. Like, okay, isn't that the way Christians start and end meetings? We don't know how to do it any other way, and so we pray at the beginning and we pray at the end. Is it done out of rote? Is it done out of just habit? Or is it done because our hearts say, God, we don't even want to do this meeting without you. God, please help us here. God, thank you for what you did. Or maybe in the middle of it, like, oh my gosh, we need to pray. Or whatever it might be. Third, we want to be vigilant and open to any corporate prayer events, but we don't want to have so many corporate prayer events that we begin to think that that's where prayer happens, right? It happens every day in every way, right? And so we want to be open, though, to it when it's really necessary. Probably the most powerful prayer meeting I've ever been a part of was the day after 9/11 in our church in California, and there were no boundaries anymore, right? You held hands with the person next to you, not because you knew who they were, but because you knew you needed each other. And you need to together come before God. And it's those times where you got to come together in a corporate way. So, that's where we're going. That's what we're doing. Now, hopefully we'll do far more than that. But because God will call us to create it. He'll give us opportunities we don't know about right now. He'll bring crises into our lives that we don't know about right now. That are going to determine some of this whole next year. But we've been talking here about what you're going to do. But let me just talk for a second here. About why. Isn't that really the more important part? Not only what are we going to do and how we're going to do it, but why? Why do we do this? Let me just give a few thoughts. In the area of reach, we believe, like Jesus, that the crowds need compassion because they, as it says in Matthew 9, because they're harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. You guys, it doesn't take much to read the newspaper, to interact in our neighborhoods, to look at our own lives, to realize that people in this world are harassed and helpless. There's an incredible need. Like sheep without a shepherd, they're lost and wandering and needing help. We live in a culture that has lost its moorings like we have a hard time describing. And it is going to set people adrift to incredible pain and hurt. And Jesus' response was not to be judgmental. But his response was one of compassion. for them. We believe like he that that's true. We believe that when he said this, that I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then we believe that Jesus really is the only answer to all of life, that he defines it. He is life in all that he is, and he wants to give us his and to live it out so that we can be like him. We believe that. And therefore, reaching out to people matters, because life without him is a very lonely place. And life with him has hope. And so that's why it's important to us. In the area of equip, why would we do this? Because we believe in the priesthood of all believers. We believe that. Ephesians, look at this passage, Ephesians 4. It says, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by, and let's circle this, every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We need every piece to work as best as it can. Every part of the body needs to function well. You know how it is. You know, if you have a bad big toe, your whole body hurts, right? I mean, it's amazing. This stupid little thing down here on the end of my leg. I mean, I got a lot of body left here, right? And it should function really well. And it hurts. And you're like, okay. And then your back goes out and your shoulder hurts and you get a bad neck and you get a headache. I mean, the whole thing's bad because the toe's not doing so great, right? It's amazing. We need every piece to function well. You know, and I love it in the scriptures. It says it this way: the more unseemly pieces are the more important, and the very visible pieces are not quite as important. So you think about the body. Okay, this is my famous one: nasal hair. Now, who wants to be nasal hair in the body of Christ? Think, no thanks, I'd rather be a hand. You know, ears aren't all that pretty, but they're better than nasal hair. Guess what? Without nasal hair, you get really sick a lot. It's really necessary. It's more important than some of the pieces that are very visible. You know? It's more important than the hair on your head. Nasal hair. I don't know which one of you are nasal hair, but God bless you. We need every piece to really function well. And guess what? And I don't mean this in a weird way, but the least important person in this room is me, this upfront thing. That's the least important part. And so we believe in the priesthood of all believers. You, God will use you. You know what a priest does? A priest does two things. He represents people to God and God to people. That's what a priest does. Guess what? The Bible says that all of us are priests. So we're at the hospital yesterday. And I was with a friend of mine who were caring about someone who was hurt. And the nurse says, well, who are you guys? And we said, well, you know, we're from this church. And she goes, well, are you the pastor? And she looked at me and she said, yes. And then she looked at this guy and he said, who's he? And I said, he's our associate pastor. Now, on the paper, you know, in paper he's not. But in reality he is, right? Of course he is. We're all the priesthood of all believers. And he was there to care and to share, to teach and to love. Of course he's the associate pastor. So it's the priesthood of all believers that we believe in. All right, let's go on to belong. We believe in connection. That one of the greatest and most essential gifts that God has ever given us is one another. See, the Christian life is not lived just between you and God. That's the critical connect, right? But he put us in the body to be connected to one another. And we need one another. So the toe, let's go back to that. Let's just cut it off, right? I mean, it's really hurting. Let's just cut it off. It doesn't do well by itself. It needs to be connected to the body. Because guess how it's going to get healed? It's by the connection to the body. That's how it's going to get better. We really believe in that. Here in Romans, look at this. It says, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, right, of course, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. You do not live on an island by yourself. We all live together and we need one another. Now, just so you know, sometimes that connection isn't easy. I don't know if you've ever noticed. Some other parts of the body sometimes are strange. They're weird. Sometimes they're irritating. I'm not looking at you, Gina. Okay, I'm not looking at anybody. But sometimes, okay, let's put it that way. Sometimes I'm strange. Sometimes I'm weird. Sometimes I'm irritating. But we're in the body, and we need one another. We're individually members one of another. We were made for connection. We were made for togetherness. We were made to love and appreciate each other. It's a gift, and we work it out, right? That's what families do. They work it out eventually. Sometimes not easy, but you work it out. We believe in that connection. Okay, and last, we believe this in the area of prayer. We believe that prayer is a missing jewel in life. It is a missing jewel. And I think we have missed it in large part of not emphasizing it like we should have in the last few years. And it doesn't mean, okay, in order for us to get bigger, let's pray. That's not it, right? That's not an issue. It's a missing jewel. Let me just give you three verses here real quick. Romans 12:12. We ought to rejoice in hope. That's a challenge by itself. We should talk about that. How do we rejoice in hope in the middle of a broken world? But he says, we ought to rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Have it just be part of the DNA of life, of our lives, of our church. Constant in prayer, because God matters, because he cares, he is able. Look at this in Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then let's circle this. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The why is this. Life does not always get easy or simple. Sometimes it's sticky and ugly. But what he does in prayer is not always fix it. But it says here that he brings peace. Brings peace. And that there is never peace in the human heart without having gone to God and laid it out and trusted him with it, an active dependence on him. What about this in Colossians? We ought to continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And at the same time, pray also for one another and encircle it, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. See, here's the deal. We need to pray that God would open up doors that we could help people understand the mysteries of who Christ is, and that mysteries are to be discovered, and that we might be able to help people discover the reality of a risen Christ, that he can enter a life and begin to make sense out of what was total chaos, and that we need to pray for that. See, God will never move until we ask him to move in the lives of people, and he will. And he does. And we just need to pray. You know, sometimes I think, well, I need to talk the person into the gospel, right? Yeah, right. That's going to work. You know? I need to pray. And I need to love. I need to explain it as best I can. Allow God to do what God does. We need to pray. So, well, there's the what's and the whys, in a sense. We've talked about some of the what's. Hopefully there'll be more what's than that. But we've talked about the whys that we're going to do with Gear Up here in 2015 and 2016. So let me go back to the key objective. Here was our objective: to aggressively address the foundational elements of ministry that we either slighted in the early stages of Quest development or just need to be reinforced. That's what we're going to try to do for the next year. And so, where do we start? So next week, we're going to start with belong. And here's what it means. Let's go back to that. To initiate, support, and develop effective environments for experiencing community for the people in Quest and for the next wave of those who will be coming, some who are already among us, right? And here's what it means to me to have community. Here, look at this. It says community means to invite and include anyone and everyone into the circle of relationships with those who are facing life's challenges, with those who are dealing with life's hurts, and with those who are struggling with profound pain and even despair, that you're invited into the circle to find a home where you can belong. Several years ago, there was a movie called Freedom Riders. It was about a woman who was teaching at Woodrow Wilson High School in Long Beach, California. And she was basically trying to reach out to kids who lived in a very violent and a very racially segregated and violent place. We used to live in that neighborhood, and our kids would have gone to Long Beach Poly, which is the next high school over, and I've seen this firsthand. And this woman became a teacher, and she was teaching a freshman lit class, or English class. And the next year, her students came back, and she continued the process of trying to help them engage and not check out. And this scene comes out of that movie. It's a true story, where these kids were beginning to express themselves. And she gave them Martinelli's to drink, because they're not drinking champagne. They have some drinks in their hand. But she gave them Martinelli's, and they began to tell their story to one another and what had happened. I think it illustrates what we're trying to do when we talk about belong. Let's watch this clip. In the band?
Nobody ever listens to a teenager. Everybody thinks you should be happy just because you're young. And they don't see the wars that we fight every single day. And one day my war will end. And I will not die. And I will not tolerate abuse from anyone. I'm strong.
My mom's kicked me out when I got jumped into the gang life. But I like her to see me graduate. I like to be 18.
Ms. G, can I read something from my diary?
That'd be great.
Who is he?
Man, he's been with us for freshman year, fool.
What's his name?
The summer was the worst summer in my short 14 years of life. It all started with a phone call. My mother was crying and begging, asking for more time, as if she were gasping for her last breath of air. She held me as tight as she could and cried. Her tears hit my shirt like bullets and told me we were being evicted. She kept apologizing to me. I thought I have no home. I should have asked for something less expensive at Christmas. On the morning of the eviction, a hard knock on the door woke me up. The sheriff was there to do his job. I looked up at the sky, waiting for something to happen. My mother has no family to lean on, no money coming in. Why bother coming to school or getting good grades if I'm homeless? The bus stops in front of the school. I feel like throwing up. I'm wearing clothes from last year, some old shoes and no new haircut. I kept thinking I'd get laughed at. Instead, I'm greeted by a couple of friends who were in my English class last year. And it hits me, Mrs. Gerwell, my crazy English teacher from last year, is the only person that made me think of hope. Talking with friends about last year's English and our trips, I began to feel better. I received my schedule, and the first teacher is Mrs. Gerwan, room 203. I walk into the room and feel as though all the problems in life are not so important anymore. I am home.
Yes, you are.
So I think that's what it means to belong. There you can be home. And so welcome to the journey. That's where we're going this year. We'll start next week. Let's sing.
I don't know how we're going to after that. But go ahead and stand with us, please.